Welcome to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. This is Reverend Sharice Thorne inviting you to journey to all that is.
Hello, and this is Reverend Sharice Thorne. I am the founder of the Temple of Knowing Spirit and the author of Knowing Spirit. With me today, I have a very special guest, Carolyn Howard Johnson. I actually called Carolyn up myself and asked her to join me today because I feel that writing and expressing yourself is a very large part of healing. And I credit my healing to being able to not only write the book that I wrote, but also being able to publish it and share it with others. So hello, Carolyn.
Oh, Reverend Thorne, you your story sounds like mine. I credit my healing with my writing as well.
That's probably why we resonate then.
That must be.
I was definitely drawn to your work. Just let me tell the audience that you have two books that I guess I'd like to focus on. You probably have more, but the first one's called The Frugal Editor, Put Your Best Book Forward to Avoid Humiliation and Ensure Success. I wish I had that 2 years ago. And
well, I wish I'd had it when I started out, too.
And your other book is The Frugal Book Promoter, which is something that I'm going to have to use as a text since I do have a publisher. But, you know, a lot of these authors don't realize that you have to do a lot of the promoting yourself.
Well, yeah, and it makes no difference whether you're self-published, subsidy-published, or whether you're traditionally published, which means that you have a big publisher like Simon & Schuster. People assume that once they've done that, that they haven't made and that they don't need to do any promotion themselves, and they still need to be partners in promotion, and many times even the big ones give them no budget at all. And so they're really as much on their own for promoting as if they had self-published. So we're all in this together if we're writing books, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, and I'm glad that you are sharing this because I think we don't know, authors don't know. It was really an eye-opening experience when I first started working with my editor, Yvonne Perry. She was my guest a couple of weeks
ago. Oh, is she? Yes, she's great.
Yeah, she's awesome. And so she really had to teach me a lot about this process, but learning how to write and learning how to publish and communicate effectively and clearly is just as important as learning the energy system and learning how to heal energetically. They actually go hand in hand.
Well, and so many times people want to share their experiences. Often people who are healing or who are interested in inspirational topics are compelled to tell their stories. And they jump into writing a book, which is great. It's a good way to go. Just jump in with both feet because you can do it. But then they don't take the care to do some of the footwork, and they're really surprised and sometimes even disappointed in the way things go for their books. So, and in fact, that happened to me, and I had a publicity background, and I had an editing background, and it still happened to me when I wrote my novel. So that's what the two self-help books are about, is everything in both of those books are things that I learned the long, hard way, you know, with practical experience and falling into potholes and getting up and brushing my scraped knees off and starting over again. And my theory is that with my two books, that no one else should have to do that. If they start out and do a little homework, not only in the writing, the aspects of writing their books, but also in what it will take to give them a fair start in life, those books.
Now, these are books you should probably have, like, even before you think of writing that first chapter, because sometimes even the way in which you're going to write, it also affects how you're going to promote.
Yes. In fact, that's probably one thing, especially with nonfiction, that a lot of authors don't do, is they don't bother to research what will be their competition. And, of course, I don't really think of competition as competition in the traditional sense. Competition is only there to make us better, but it does help if you're going to write a book on inspiration to try to have a little bit different angle. My husband's reading one now by a man who lost his high-paying job in the advertising industry and went to work for Starbucks, and he wanted to share how working at Starbucks had turned his life around. That's his twist. A job at Starbucks isn't what we usually think of as a way to make a difference, you know, a thing that will make a difference in our lives. If he had not used Starbucks, if he had just said, well, in general, writing turned my life on, that's not a story. So it's something that we should research. We should go on Amazon, look at our categories, see what other people have done, see how they've done it, and see if we can come up with something that's exciting, a little bit different in the ways we want to tell our stories. So absolutely, that before you put pen to paper or finger to keyboard, is yeah. Do a little research and get some books on publishing. There's so many good ones out there. When I first wrote The Frugal Book Promoter, there was hardly anything else out there on that. Now there is, and I don't think people should have only one book. Speaking of competition, I don't consider myself a competitor with Marilyn Ross's Everything You Need to Know About Self-Publishing. I consider us as fellow authors who write about somewhat the same subject, but writers would get something quite different from both of our books, and they're complementary. So none of this proprietary stuff, you know. The universe is big enough to feed us all. We don't need to do that.
Well, definitely, and your perspective is based upon your experiences, and then as well as any other author, so your reader and the audience will be able to benefit. It's really about benefiting from experiences.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, in the end, experience is the greatest teacher.
Well, and that's the other thing about these two books that caught your interest is that they were completely... They're completely based on my own experiences. There's nothing in The Frugal Book Promoter that I didn't try myself. And no one else should have to do that. They should be able to go through The Frugal Book Promoter, find the things that fit their pocketbooks, their personality, the titles of their books, the things that they would enjoy working with, and select a few. No one should have to try everything that's in that book. But I did it because there were no guidelines out for me to make those, you know, those intelligent decisions. So with my publicity background, I just started searching out all the possibilities of what's offered in the world of book publicity and did it.
Now, if I could ask you, you had some challenges, and the writing helped you with your challenges.
Right.
If you don't mind sharing that.
No, not at all. I had several challenges. I had a daughter who was addicted as a teenager and had a great deal of trouble getting through that, and went into 12-step program to help me help her, and found out that it helped me more than it helped her, although she's now nearly 20 years sober. And then I got cancer, and it felt to me not as if God was punishing me, not as if my higher power was punishing me, certainly not that, but that as if these things were coming into my life and I wasn't quite getting it, you know? And one of the things that I had always wanted to do was write a novel. I had started out as a journalist when I was in high school, with a high school newspaper, worked for the Salt Lake City Tribune, worked for Good Housekeeping magazine, and then I gave it all up. And I was telling myself stories, Charisse. I was telling myself things like, this is just as creative as writing, what I'm doing now, which was raising a family at first. And certainly it was. But I didn't need to give up one for the other. I was telling myself that being a homemaker was satisfying me, which it was. But I didn't have to give up one for the other. Then my husband and I went into business, and we opened very slowly a chain of retail stores, and that pretty much took away any of the time that I had for writing, and we owned those for almost 30 years. So when I got cancer, I felt very strongly that one of the reasons that I got it was because I was denying my own joy. By that time, my children were raised, our businesses were on their feet, and we just worked it out so that we changed directions, and he changed directions with me, and is writing now as well. And I credit writing First of all, that novel that I'd always wanted to do, it was a release to finally do what I'd always wanted to do. And, you know, people talk about a calling, and I never paid much attention to that, but writing was my calling, and I was denying it, and it was not affecting me well. I did not do well with that particular way of approaching things. All I can say is that writing saved my life. I did have the cancer removed, but I didn't have chemotherapy, and I didn't have, and I wouldn't advise anybody else necessarily do that. I didn't have radiation. I wrote. So between the surgery and writing, I'm now, I don't know, 10 years cured.
Well, that's an amazing story.
It is. It's an amazing story. It is. It's amazing for me, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy that I got cancer because it's given me so much. Writing has given me so much joy.
And then also, I think I've talked a lot about soul purpose and desires. It seems like you are also enjoying helping others through the self-help manual.
Well, you know, I started writing for myself, and I went through that stage, and I'm still doing that because it's important. I'll never give that up. Then there was a book of short stories called Harkening. Then a book of a chapbook of poetry called Tracings. So that creative writing is still essential to my well-being. But also essential is this the How to Do It Frugally series, which obviously is helping others and also feeding my soul, if you will. It made a huge difference to me. And it makes nothing pleases me more than to get an email from someone and have them say that they read my book and it made a difference in their writing careers. So, you know, how can you ask for anything more than that, right?
Definitely, I agree with you.
So that's basically the story of how I got back to writing.
Well, back to your soul.
Yeah, back to myself. For some of us, it's painting. For some of us, it's writing. For some of us, you know, it could be finances. But whatever it is that propels us, we need to follow that and do that. And we may not be able to do it exclusively. We may need to at least start out earning a living at however we do that best. But it doesn't mean we have to completely deny that other part of ourselves.
Well, what I like about the self-help books, your books, the two of them that I'm focusing on, the Frugal Editor and the Frugal Book Promoter, I believe that the greatest healing is permanent self-healing. That's what I'm promoting in my book, and I'm offering a step-by-step little series or a questionnaire to help people just trying to get their life back on track and to... It's really a reflection on themselves. So it's a self-help. So I believe that the self-help really helped me. That's why I wrote it. But your books, and I mentioned before, really should be read before we start to write.
Yes. Yes. The Frugal Book Promoters actually set up what you should do before you start to write, before you sign a contract, before you begin to publish. Then some things that you can do between the time that you've decided how to publish and the time the book all comes out, and then a lot of things that you can do after the fact. Of course, any of them can be used at any time, but I set it up that way especially to get that message across that for many, especially those who are traditionally published by Harper's, say, for many, if they wait until they actually have their book in their hands to start to promote, it can be the death knell for that book. Because with traditional publishing, your book pretty much has to sell within 90 days from the day it hits the bookstores, or those books are all returned to the publisher, and they go on remainder. So, and that's one of the beauties of self or subsidy publishing, is that you have a little more control over that. And there's no one correct way to publish. Each book is different. But certainly they should start really early learning to promote, and of course the Frugal Editor too. If you wait until your book needs to be edited before you read the Frugal Editor, you may make a lot of really heavy mistakes in terms of your query letters to your agents or publishers. You have to go back and and fix a lot of things that you may not have done really wrong. Your English teacher might have fully approved of the grammar you used and the way you worded things, but writing books is a little bit different. It's a different skill than writing high school or college essays. So there's a whole lot for writers to learn in the field of books that they didn't know before. And how much easier it is to know those before you start to write than waiting until you've got your book written.
Yeah, definitely.
Or worse still, until you've got it published. You know?
Yes.
Yikes.
Yes.
Your book sounds absolutely wonderful, though, as if that would be another one of those non-competitive books that someone might, that might lead one toward writing their heart rather than writing something and finding out that it wasn't quite right and then moving on. Kind of a time saver. In addition to the how-tos of editing and the how-tos of promoting, maybe just the how-tos in how to get a hold of your heartstrings before you start.
Yes, definitely. Get a hold or just a greater connection to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I do believe, when we are, you know, when we're one with the soul or just moving within the soul and fulfilling its desires, then peace is inevitable. Because I've, you know, just from my personal experiences, whenever I was going against, you know, the higher self or going against the soul, I was always in a lot of trouble, you know, either emotionally or physically. As you were saying, if I got ill, it would usually be because I was out of alignment in some way.
Yeah. I've never used that term, out of alignment, but that's definitely what I was. And, you know, the thing about it is that sometimes when we're out of alignment, Cherise, we don't know it.
Yes.
We're either in denial about it, I guess that's what you would call it, but we really don't know it. I never suspected that I was really out of alignment during the time that I was, that my life wasn't going the way it should. I mean, it seemed to me that I was doing a darn good job. I had successful businesses and you know, was smart enough to work well with my daughter and help her through a bad time. I got a college degree late, worked really hard to get that. It seemed to me that I was very successful, but it obviously wasn't success in the way that counts.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And that's what the physical challenges are.
Right.
But I also just want to put out there, you know, for the audience that I, you know, and I'm sure you're feeling the same way, I don't blame, when I look at people who are, you know, very sick, I don't blame them. I think there's so many different reasons why people are ill. My personal experience is caused by, you know, my mind being out of alignment with the higher self and the soul.
Yeah,
exactly. I did write in the second book that I wrote, Knowing Spirit Through Healing Your Soul, that judgment, even if you think it's just an observation, judgment really is a way to move away from spirit, and accepting that this is what the person has chosen, and whatever they've chosen is what's good for them at this time. Which I have a hard time with.
Yeah, that in the moment thing, and that mm-hmm. that may be just what we needed to eventually come to whatever it is we come to. That's why I say it's that concept, Cherise, of the fact that I'm glad I got cancer. Without the cancer, I might not. In fact, I'm almost certain I wouldn't have come back to writing, at least not in exactly the same way. So. Do I regret it? Not really. That was what was going on in my life that I needed in that moment. And there'd been some things before that had gone, and I didn't quite get the story. Was that punishment? No, it was just, you know, a reminder, a little nudge, a push. Some of us need more pushes than others.
Yes. Some of us need shoving.
a really big shove.
But thank you very much for sharing so many tips. I just wanted to give out that toll-free number in case there are any people out there who are interested in asking you any questions about how to edit and book promoting. The toll-free number for the States is 1-877-876-5227. And toll-free for Canada is 1-888-815-9756. So I'm sorry I didn't give that out earlier, but definitely, if anyone's interested in calling and asking more questions, not just about these books, but just your life in general. I had another question myself. so I have enough questions to keep us busy for the whole hour. So. Well, it's so, I mean, I take healing to me was through the writing. I mean, healing to a lot of people are different things. Some people take up Qigong.
Absolutely.
Take up yoga. I took up writing as a form of healing, and I actually now advocate to people, write your own story. You know, and I work with a lot of healers. I don't know if you know, but most of my clients are healers or becoming healers or striving towards that goal in their life. And I always suggest to them, write your story. Even if you never publish it, write out the story, because every story is a hero story, or a shiro, according to Oprah, a shiro story in which your difficulties, and sometimes, you know, referred to as karma in the Eastern philosophy, but the difficulties that you're going through is what's going to get you where it is that you want to go.
Yeah.
And sometimes we hate them, but in the end, as what you were saying, it's really what will motivate us. So I do see writing also as a way of, you know, number one, dipping into your story or really going within your own story.
You know, psychiatrists who charge upwards of $200 an hour will often suggest that people keep journals. And in fact, that we call them diaries in the old days. The diaries that I had and the diaries that some of my ancestors had, I have Mormon ancestors on one side of my family, were an essential part of my novel, This Is the Place. They gave me the food for that novel, the genealogy that my Mormon ancestors had done as well. And, of course, it's a unique culture. So it's an interesting book to read for people who aren't familiar with that unique culture right within the United States here. But the journaling itself probably contributed to the love of writing as well. You know, so it works in all kinds of different ways. But mostly, I think, it helps you understand yourself better. You get clarity when you journal.
Yes.
So even people who don't think that writing is what is going to be their particular salvation or their particular interest, journaling can make a difference in their lives.
Yeah, it's a way to tap in.
Right, right.
It's a way to tap in. And I actually, my co-host, she's not with us today, LaVon, she's actually journaling, and she's planning on turning her journal into a book. And at the time when she was journaling, she never thought about it. But so much insight and wisdom and knowledge was gained through her experiences that she wants to share it with others.
Sometimes I just go back to a journal. If I've got a few minutes, I want to write a poem, and I just go back to a journal, and I can pick up, you know, just phrases, and they'll inspire or give me an idea of a poem to write. Something that hasn't yet been done. You know, you think you have writer's block, but it's, you don't. There it is, you know, on the pages of a journal, waiting for you to rediscover it. So, it's an exciting process. I have to admit, I don't do it every night by any means. I think that's one thing that keeps people from doing it, is that they're concerned that they'll feel obligated, that they've got to do it every night. It feels like another stress thing for them. I don't think it has to be that way. You just put a book by the side of your bed, and, you know, one of the best times to write is when you're really ticked off.
Yes, definitely.
It gets it out, you know.
That's when the true emotions are coming out.
Yeah. So is your book done? And you said you've written two?
Yes, the first one was Blessings of Liberation, and that was the self-help book. And that was the step-by-step program that I created for myself in order to get through the difficult emotions that I was having in my early 20s. We also have a school, a correspondence school, my mother and I. So that is the manual for the school. But I had so much more to share in terms of the personal experiences that I had even with my clients. As a full-time healer practitioner, there was a lot of people who came to me that really resolved so many challenging issues that I felt that if I could share some of their stories for them, other people could benefit from the clients that were coming to me.
Sure.
So yeah, I included a lot of the clients that had come to me, and I asked permission for all of them, and they were actually quite excited to be included in the book, because it was testimony to that their pain and trauma might help somebody avoid it.
Right.
Later on, and right. So I'm really grateful for that. So that's Knowing Spirit Through Healing Your Soul, and I published through Nightingale Press, and so you can go online with hers. And did you, where do you get your books? Where did you?
Oh,
you
the Frugal Editor is traditionally published with Red Engine Press. The publisher of The Frugal Book Promoter is with Star Publish. My novel is still available, but it was originally published by America House. And it was just a very small literary publisher, same for Harkening. And then my book of poetry is published by Finishing Line Press. And they do only chapbooks, only poetry chapbooks, and it's traditionally published. So I guess I've published just about every way in the world, including ebooks and chapbooks and softback books. I mean, there's almost no way that I haven't published. And I've only been doing it for less than 10 years, which also gives me a leg up on the classes I teach at UCLA. Because when you teach a class in just about anything to do with publishing or writing, people always want to know about publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And having, again, that practical experience. I'm a firm believer that practical experience is, I love the fact that I got an education, and I love to learn. I keep taking classes over and over again. I adore that. That practical experience is just the best teacher. People who can pass on their practical experience, I think, also are the best teachers. So you and I have both done that.
And it was enjoyable. I mean, the whole
thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Amazing. Right.
Some of the challenges that I did have when I started writing my book about 10 years ago, probably even longer than that. So it was like a overall overhaul, I guess.
Yeah.
Process. So I actually just kept it together, and you know, I learned through Yvonne Perry and Valerie at Nightingale Press. But you have a couple of issues here that you wanted to help people, especially the shy ones who don't want to go out in public.
Oh yeah.
Or the people who live very far away. How to promote from behind a computer.
Well, I do several things along that line. One of the things I do is I'm a co-sponsor with Leah Skizas, who's also Canadian, for a Muse Online conference that runs. We're in our second year. That next October it will be our third year. It's absolutely free and it's online. A place where experienced authors can come share, doing seminars, and a place where people can come to learn, usually on a pretty basic level, who can't afford to travel to conferences or take expensive classes. So that's one of the things I do. And, of course, books are an inexpensive way, much less expensive than classes. Certainly they're not always as good in some ways, but it's a really good place to start out. So I keep my focus on writers like that. I have one woman who lives in Alaska who I communicate with. There are online classes, of course, now, but it's very hard for her to find a critique group or other authors to speak to. So I design my newsletter, which is called Sharing with Writers, and you only need to email me to get that newsletter. It's just email me at hojonews@aol.com. Hojo is in Howard Johnson, news@aol.com. It's interactive so that authors can send me articles, send me their author successes, send me tips that have been successful for them, and I try to work it out so that there's a way to publish those. So, again, that's kind of an interactive way to go. In the Frugal Book Promoter, I talk about ways that people can promote. Remember when I said that people should promote in ways that fit their personalities? I love to teach and speak. I speak all over. I get just jazzed by speaking. It makes me feel so good to look an audience in the eye, you know, a room full of writers, and know that I'm helping them and having them come up afterward and say that I helped. I mean, I just get off on that. But there are a lot of people who don't. And so one of the great ways that people can promote is by sitting right behind their computer, writing articles that are related to their work, whatever it is, whether it's their novel or their book of poetry or their self-help book, writing articles about that subject that are the same as or a little different from what's in the book, and giving them away just give them away. But
what
you have a byline.
What do you mean by giving them away?
You give them to websites who have an interest in that, in related material. You
so
give
you mean,
them to newsletters that need content. In fact, on my website, there's a whole page of articles that I've written that I give away. And I give them away to anybody who people who want to read them or people who want to use them. If people are going to use them to reprint them, I only ask that they make sure that they use them in the same form that they download them from my website. I don't want them, you know, to cut them up and or not use the credits, because the credits are one of the things that direct people to my website. So at the bottom there's something called a tagline at the bottom of each article that says that this article's by Carolyn Howard Johnson, and it gives my website, www.howtodoitfrugally.com, and it might give something about some of my books. Depending on what's in the article itself, I kind of try to relate that to what's in the article itself, so that when people actually use that article, then they're also printing something about the other things, that the books that I write, or the conference I give, or my newsletter, or whatever it is. So by giving away those articles, I'm promoting myself. And even shy people can do that. If they're writers, they're writers. They want their stuff to be read, right?
Definitely. So what, so just to recap, as many articles as you can think of that are in, related to your topic but not in the book itself.
Actually, it could actually be in the book itself. Then you just label them as excerpts. You wouldn't want to give away the whole book eventually.
Okay.
But you could pick something up as an excerpt and do it with that too. That makes it real easy, right?
Yeah, definitely.
it would probably need to be rewritten a little bit with a new, you know, a little bit of an introduction and maybe a little bit different ending than a chapter or a section in your book. But you
so how long should an article be, approximately?
Well, generally, if you're giving things away on the web, people like them under 1,000 words.
Okay.
Another thing that I write are tips, because people can use just one tip at a time or all 10 tips, but tips that are related to my subjects. As an example, This Is the Place is a book set in Utah. It was very popular just before the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City. And it's enjoying a rebirth again because Mitt Romney, who is a Mormon, who calls Utah his Zion, and really that's his culture, the culture of Utah, is running for president, obviously. So it's enjoying a rebirth. So I've written tips on the book. The theme of the book is about tolerance. So I've written tips on tolerance. I've written tips about everything you wanted to know about Utah but didn't know to ask. 10 tips. All kinds of just fun things you can do. You can even use humor. As an example, did you know that more people eat Jell-O in Utah per capita than any other state in the union? I mean, you know, who really cares?
Yes,
after you've read 10 of these, you get to have a better grasp of who the people are there and what they're like. And we're all the same at heart, obviously, the same in soul, but our cultures are different, and there is a specific culture in Utah that's different from any place else in the United States, just like the people in Mississippi are different from the people in New York.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That actually leads me into another question about getting to know your audience. I think that's the first thing that writers forget
about. It's a really hard lesson for me to teach when I'm... You've heard a voice when people are teaching fiction, and even nonfiction. You have to have a voice. As an example, my voice in my how-to books is very light. It's very colloquial. It isn't at all texty. You know, it doesn't read like a textbook. So that's my voice. I have a slightly different voice, although certainly relatively colloquial, for my other writing. You have to find a voice. That's a hard concept for teachers to get across to new writers.
Because even when you're saying it now, I know what you're talking about because I had to go through it. But I'm pretty sure that people are trying to figure out what do you mean.
Well,
talking.
It's hard. And all you can do is keep giving examples, like I just gave of what my voice sounds like or reads like. Well, finding angles for your work seems to be a difficult concept, too. in the Frugal Book Promoter, I talk about finding out even after your book is written, who your audience is, what the angles are in it. If your book has to be more than one thing, what are they? You can't sell your book, you can't promote your book unless you understand that. So I give about 12 things that you can look at in your book. One of them might be, what does the protagonist, the main character, do for a living? If he's a fireman, then maybe one of your audiences is people who are firemen and women, or people who are related to firemen and women. That's one of your audiences, even though the book isn't really about fighting fires. If there's a dog in it, and the dog has a pretty major part, what breed is he? Is the part that the dog plays enough that you might have an audience among dog lovers in general, or among Great Dane lovers specifically? That kind of thing. So you need to know your own book, and as you're promoting it, as you run out of ideas for promotion, you can move in to new ideas by going back, rereading your book, and figuring out what the angles are in it.
Now, just to add here, when you do say, going back and reading your book and finding the angles, I know there's fiction and then there's nonfiction, so mine is a spiritual self-help. When I had to go back and look at my angles or my twists or my...
Right.
The unique, I had to find what was unique within my book, I actually went and had to go back inside myself. I actually had to do a little bit of journeying to really find out where was I getting my information from, and what was it about. It's actually a self-exploration again. So the going back and looking at the book or yourself or whatever way, it's a pretty important step because you're getting
Absolutely.
To know yourself. Yeah, you're getting to know yourself better because your writing is you, whether it be fiction or nonfiction or self-help or textbooks. There's you being expressed in on paper.
Absolutely. In fact, I talk about branding in the Frugal Book Promoter and again in the Frugal Editor, because in fact the way you edit is part of your branding. You don't want to send out things that are sloppy or indicate that you're an amateur. That's part of who you, that's a reflection of who you are, right? But it's true that books that are written anonymously or books that are written with a non-diplome rarely do very well. And that's because the most interesting thing about any book is the author. So you're not only looking at the angles in your book, but you're also looking, exactly as you say, in the angles in the author herself. I am a senior. I have had experience in different fields. Those things can help me promote when I direct my promotion efforts to those areas. So I've been a feminist in the best sense of the word my entire life, and I believe in equality, not that one sex should overpower the other one. And there's a little bit of that in This Is the Place, where the protagonist is actually treated differently because she's a female writer back in the 50s than if she were a reporter of the other gender. So I can appeal to women's sites, feminist sites, that kind of thing. So those are all things that can be used to promote and should be.
Well, thank you for saying that, because my next question was in terms of distribution of the book. How do you recommend getting your book to the people? So,
every book is different. Every book is different. The Frugal Book Promoter has won 2 awards, USA Book News Best Professional Book of the Year in 2004, and the Frugal Editor just won that book, that same award, this, like 2 days ago. I just found out about it, believe it or not.
Oh, congratulations.
So brand new.
How did you get to the point
I never had a distributor for any of my books until the Frugal Editor, this last book. But it's much easier to do without a distributor. By a distributor, let me define that, because a lot of people confuse wholesalers with distributors. A lot of people think that if their book is with Ingram, that that's a distributor. They're often called a distributor, but they're really a wholesaler. A distributor means that somebody actually has a sales force that goes out and sells your book, shows your books, talks up your books to book buyers in bookstores and to book buyers in other places, catalogs or wherever. That's what a distributor does. And my belief is that a distributor is almost essential. Obviously, it wasn't for me, because this is the place also won some awards and won the Millennium Award from its publisher for sales the first year it was published, and I didn't have a distributor. So it can be done without, but I believe a distributor, a Salesforce type distributor, is essential for novels and books of short stories. But books with a niche market, like the Frugal Book Promoter and the Frugal Editor, it's for writers. It's not that a businesswoman or businessman wouldn't benefit from the Frugal Editor, because they would, but it's aimed at the writer. That's really easy to promote on the web. You don't need a distributor. It wouldn't hurt to have one. I probably would have sold a lot more books if I had had one, but you don't have to have one.
Especially since you wrote a book about how to promote.
how to promote, how to write, just about how to do anything. Actually, the field of inspiration, the category of inspiration, is very similar to that. You have a niche market. So when you've got that, some people say niche works. You can really do so much on the web, and the beauty of the web is that it's almost exclusively free. Frugal. I spent $35,000 on a publicist for my novel. I had inherited some from my aunt. She was childless, and I was sure that she wouldn't mind if I spent that money on my first baby, my first book, the one that had cured me of cancer. I just knew she wouldn't mind, and I'm sure she still doesn't. But I have to tell you, it was a total waste of money. They didn't do anything I couldn't have done for myself. And not all publicists certainly would be that ineffectual, but I will always believe that the person who can promote your book the best is you. And if you have the time and you don't need the help, then wing it that way. But at a very minimum, know what you're doing, so that if you do hire a publicist, you can partner with them well.
I agree with you there. I think we have a caller. I hear. Hello?
Great.
Hello?
Oh. No, maybe they got tired of me gabbing and gave up.
It's okay, Noah. I didn't want to interrupt you. I did hear a beep. But so sorry, you were getting back to the writer is the best promoter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I know, let me give out the number again. I think we only have maybe 5 more minutes, just in case somebody does want to call, 877-876-5227. And Canada's 888-815-9756. But you gave out your email, which is hojonews@aol.com. So if for some reason they tried to get through.
Oh, they could absolutely email me. If they'll put your program's name in the subject line, I get about 400 a day, so make sure I know that it's a question from the radio audience.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, not that I try to get to everything, but you also have to sort through all that spam, right?
Oh, definitely.
But I'll answer every single one. Absolutely, be happy to do it.
Definitely, thank you. And then I just wanted to you caught my ear when you were talking about an interactive blog for authors, especially that lady up in Alaska.
My blogs are interactive too. Actually, I was talking about my Sharing with Writers newsletter.
Okay.
And you can get that just by putting subscribe in your subject line and send that to hojonews@aol.com. But I also have a really neat blog that I just started. It's called thenewbookreview.blogspot.com.
No, I think I've been on there, haven't I?
I don't know.
I think I've actually left you, that's how I first connected with you.
Oh, maybe so, yeah. Well, of course, you can always leave comments on blogs. But this particular blog, there's also a sharing with writers, blogspot.com. But this particular, the new book review, allows authors to submit their favorite review, as long as they get permission from the reviewer. And it's a way of recycling reviews. So I feel like I'm being of service to writers that way, too. They get a little bit more mileage out of the reviews that they've already gotten.
Oh, interesting.
So I'll be looking forward to getting a review on your books, Cherise, one at a time, one every month.
Okay.
And there are guidelines on the left-hand column of that blogspot.com.
Okay.
So it's thenewbookreview.blogspot.com. Yeah.
And for something so new, it actually was, you have quite a few articles on there. I was actually quite interested because it was helping me choose what, I read a lot, what books would be of best interest for me, because even the review itself is almost a synopsis of whether or not this book would be helpful. So I actually really liked that.
Yes, and one of the things that I like that I didn't plan, because I don't refuse anything other than pornography. But what I've really enjoyed is that I'm getting books published by the biggest publishers. I'm getting books self-published. I'm getting books that are subsidy published. So this particular blog gives readers really an assortment of reading that is available that they wouldn't begin to find if they only read, say, New York Times book section. Because they only cover the real big ones, you know, the ones that are getting all the play anyway. You can find those relatively easily. You don't need my little blog to tell you about those. But there are a lot of really good, interesting books out there that don't get any play. And so my blog will expose those books as well as the big ones. So a little bit of everything. I've had people submit poetry, how-to books, novels, romances, literary novels, everything. It's been fun.
Well, it's an interesting site, so I want to say thank you for sharing that. And I know you gave up your emails. Do you have a main website
yes.
people can go and tap into to
yes,
in order
I,
to
I
get
just
your
started it myself. It's okay. Full of great things like resources for writers. There's a resources for readers page that lists all kinds of books, kind of like my blog I was just talking about.
Okay.
The resources for writers page gives all kinds of things, lists of book fairs, lists of media disseminators, all kinds of things that writers need. And it is www.howtodoitfrugally.com.
Now, off of this website, can people order your book?
You know, I don't sell books myself. I only do it through bookstores and through the web. So if they want to buy my book, they should just go to amazon.com, plug in my name, and they'll find all the books that I write, and then they'll be able to pick and choose. It's Carolyn Howard Johnson with a dash between the Howard and the Johnson. And Amazon's little search engine will just pick them right up for you.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a very educational hour, and I know we have just a couple of minutes, so I am going to wrap up. But just to reiterate, I am very grateful that you came on the show, because I do feel that writing changed the course of my life, as well it did yours. And it is my desire, my hope, by having you on the show, that there are other people who are going through difficult times, and if they ever doubted that they were able to write and publish their own work, I think that you're a testament to that. Everything is possible. Anything is possible as
Absolutely.
Long as you put your mind to it.
Absolutely. And I'm very grateful to you for having me also, Cherise. It's been a pleasure. I love to take any advantage I can to let people feel my passion, I guess.
And that's another question as we wrap up here. The writer is the best person to promote the book. And while you were saying that, I also thought about people who are writing the self-help books, the spiritual self-help. They are always coming from a place of their own pain to share. And their success seems to rely on how well they tap into their wound in order to want to share it with others. So
exactly.
if your publicist is not going to know what kind of, terrible life you might have had.
Exactly. The publicist can be a wonderful publicist, but she's probably got at least a few books. She can't know any one of those books as well as you know your own book.
Definitely.
Also, you know, that passion that you're talking about, that coming from inside of yourself, a lot of times people get stilted when they start to write. They feel the passion, but they lose that quality of being excited when they're actually doing the writing. Go back through your writing. Don't do that. You know, impart that to your reader. Your reader wants to hear that. Your reader wants to feel that. And your book will be more effective if you've done that. So just write from the heart. Don't worry about editing. Don't worry about anything until after you've written from the heart. Then once you've done that, then you can go back and work on the finer points of writing a book.
Which is symbolic of just life itself. You know, you get through it, and then you go back and you reflect and see what you would like to change.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, Cherise. Absolutely.
Yes, I actually do. When I was writing my book and then editing it myself as well with Yvonne Perry, I noticed that as I was reflecting and changing the few things in my book, I was changing my own beliefs and understanding of the way things were. So I was reflecting upon my own experiences and then growing as a result. But you do that with your writing. If you go back, there's always something you can add.
Yeah.
There's always something you can change. There's always something you can do to make it better or more authentic.
Yeah.
And that is life itself. There's always something you can reflect upon to grow, to evolve.
You know, and that's the other thing. Those of us who have written books and they've been around a while, if we were writing it again, we would have more knowledge to impart. If we were writing it again, we might edit it a little bit differently. If we were writing it again, we might choose a different cover. But that's what growing is all about. We don't need to apologize for that. We just know that we're moving forward, that that's an indication that we've moved forward. So just go out there and do it. The experience, you will grow from the experience in and of itself. There's just no doubt about it.
Definitely. And then the more you do it, the easier it'll be.
Exactly.
Yeah, the easier it'll be. And that, again, sounds like life when you were talking about, you know, write your book and go back and you would do it another way. You might have a different cover or you might have a different style. That's life.
That's right.
You know, we rebirth.
You can go back and put another second edition out, or you can just keep moving forward and do something else.
Yes, that's it. So thank you so much again. I was interviewing Carolyn Howard Johnson, author of The Frugal Editor, Put Your Best Book Forward to Avoid Humiliation and Ensure Success. And your email is hojonews@aol.com. And, sorry, your website again is?
It's www.howtodoitfrugally.com.
howtodoitfrugally.com.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. And for anybody who is interested in having a personal consultation with me, my name is Reverend Cherise Thorne. My website is www.knowingspirit.org. And I have a blog, www.knowingspirit.blogspot.com, which I'm really enjoying the comments. I'm getting a lot of comments on the articles that I put up there. So it's become a lot of fun to hear what everybody else has to say about what I'm writing. And I also had a comment from you, so thank you very much. I'm glad that we connected.
We'll have to link our blogs.
Yes, definitely.
Good cross-promotion. Another thing I'm avid about, cross-promotion.
Well, yeah, excellent idea.
Okay.
Okay. And if they're sending you an email about a question on the show, just make sure they put Knowing Spirit Listener on it so that you can get to it right away.
Right.
Okay, well, thanks again, and I look forward to connecting with you in the future.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. Please visit our website at www.knowingspirit.org. And if you would like to be a guest on our program or book a private consultation with Reverend Cherise Thorne, please call us at 1-815-483-1141. Until then, this is Reverend Cherise sending you light and love on your journey home.